Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. A couple of stories here.
Are they good ones, or is it, are you going to bring some negativity into this world?
No, these are good ones. Ty Lue, I guess, is a serious candidate. That is, to me, is not a culture change. That's not a culture change.
You think that's more J.B. Bickerstaff?
I think it's more, let's appease the pro.
Dancing at the party with James? Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
That video, Lamont tweets it all the time. Lamont sent it to John.
Oh, the one with James?
Yeah, that one.
No.
If you look, J.B. Bickerstaff is there, too. It's a whole, it's somebody's wedding or something.
Oh,
there's some kind of party.
And well, yeah, yes, he's in a tux.
That's the, all of a sudden, James is like this, and he goes, yes.
Yeah, whatever.
That's it.
That one. Yeah, I
think
that.
JB is on it. And so it just looked weird to see a coach, you know, dancing with the players.
Yeah, it's here's the deal is it's I think that he is a player's guy. Now, he's got more credentials, obviously, because he won a title with LeBron, but he had LeBron. But you know what? He knows how to win a title. And so he's done it. He's been there. He's done that. But that's not a culture change.
What if culture change meant that Daryl Morey wasn't going to have as much power and input? I don't think that's what it means, but what if that's what it meant? In terms of philosophy?
Well, I don't know, because he's acquiesced to Daryl and every. He said Daryl's making the pick.
I mean,
it's not like he's taking power away from
him. Oh, yeah, he did say Daryl's making the head coaching pick.
Yeah, he said, I know what I don't know, and I don't know how to pick a coach. So Daryl's going to do that. So, I mean, I don't believe that. What I thought a culture change meant was that we're going to get, you know, we're going to be a tougher, more disciplined.
Well, for the record, I thought that too. Yeah. I didn't think that with Daryl. I'm just throwing that out there if it meant something else. Because what I thought it meant was, I thought it meant James isn't going to run the squad.
Yeah.
That's frankly what I thought it meant.
And it's funny, and I mentioned this before, that AJ, because I listen to every show.
I know you do.
AJ, you know,
John's
was like
the unofficial
a culture change.
Director.
All that means is that you're going to have an African-American head coach. And they've had African-American head coach before. I mean, it's not like.
Who's that?
Well, JB was an interim.
Yeah,
but
you got to go back to Don Chaney in the early '90s.
Yeah, but is that a what?
I don't think that's a culture.
I don't think that's a culture thing either. I think a culture thing is, to me, it's what Bill O'Brien is trying to do: get rid of the guys that aren't good practicers, that are maybe bad influences on the teammates. Get rid of those guys, and let's be more disciplined around here. And you know, maybe James could use somebody to tell him what to do. Now, as we all know, would he like playing for Jeff Van Gundy?
I think we all feel that same way.
I
thought that was P.J. Tucker. But you see, I mean, number one, you do need to be friends with James, I think, to have an influence.
Yeah.
I think that's important. And P.J. Tucker, we saw him out at Turkey Leg Hut. Like, he's friends with James. And I think if there's one guy you want to be friends with James, it would be P.J. Tucker.
Well, is PJ coming back, or is PJ going to be? Is he here long term? Is PJ Tucker a long term answer? He wants an extension.
PJ's been here forever. I feel like PJ's a good culture guy.
He's already under contract for this upcoming season, but he'd like to stay beyond. Would you give PJ Tucker an extension?
Nope. I'd make him play it out, and then we'll probably reset.
Yeah, I mean, the only problem is
I don't really think this window's. Really, I think it's open, but it's not really open that much.
It's just cracked?
Yeah. I mean, it's open for as much as far as Eric Gordon and James Harden and Russell Westbrook could take you. And we've seen those guys have all been in the league for, you know, damn near, what, 10 years. So it's not like they're going to be different players this year.
Is there any way that Daryl can come back and he will – because he was – you know what? He was spouting the same stuff this year. You know, we're the best team. We feel like we've got the best team. We feel like we're – this is a championship.
I feel like you shouldn't say
this
that.
This is an asterisk year. Because if it's an asterisk, then we should win it because we always win with an – we always have an asterisk on our wins. All of those things. And he honestly believing – and Tillman going on ESPN, honestly believing that this is a championship team. Can you spout that anymore if you're the Rockets organization?
Why put the pressure on yourself?
Well, let's face it. They've accomplished everything that they've had to accomplish outside of winning a title. So why? What's the difference? I mean, it's not like there isn't the pressure to do that anyway. But is it realistic? I mean, or is it? Do you just look at now? Are you going to look at Daryl with a side eye and go, really? Are you though? Are you a champion? Are you though?
Are you though?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, because you got to stop spouting that. You got to, because there is no indication whatsoever that this team has championship genes. None.
You don't have any doubt.
But they will titillate us again next year.
For the first time, I'm not really that sure. I feel like...
No, they're going to go on a nice run. They're going to look really
good. I'm interested to see if Russ and James... You remember Clyde and Charles were fine in year one. It was year two where things started to... Well, they didn't start. They fell apart in year two from a personality standpoint. I really wonder, because we started to see some cracks with Russ getting upset about effort and urgency and things like that. I wonder if it is going to start to become an issue if James is going to really love being with Russ and vice versa. Because they're stuck together, unless they move James. Well, ain't nobody taking Russ's contract.
Well, let's face it. Anybody that spends any amount of time with James, it's pretty much, you know, he tires of them. He does.
He's like Joffrey.
Well, he's not going to just shoot arrows.
Crossbow bolt?
Not literally, but figuratively. He fire a crossbow bolt into Dwight Howard?
Yes.
And Chris Paul.
Kevin McHale? Yes.
Sam Decker? Yes. Kevin McHale? Yes.
Yes.
He's Lord Joffrey of the Rockets.
I'll put your dad's head on a spike. Is he threatening people with that?
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, I'll put your dad's head on a spike if you don't watch yourself.
No.
Is that what he's threatening?
No.
Who has more power than Lord Joffrey Harden?
Well, who's going to poison him, though? Do you think Russ poisons him?
Well, it'll be someone we never expect because Atlanta Tyrell.
You know who Russ is? Russ is like, he's not even.
What's the trainer's name?
Keith Jones? It would have to be Keith Jones. He's been there forever. Keith Jones would have to be one of your Lord Varys.
He's Atlanta Tyrell?
Yeah, he could be.
He could be.
And he's sitting there with headdress on.
And he goes, once James is long gone or he gets traded.
Actually, that's a great call because he's been around forever.
Keith Jones says, like, hey, I'm not poisoning James.
Well, maybe poison.
That's, of course, what Tyrell would want you to believe.
And tell him, I want him to know I did it before he goes. That's what
Eric Gordon is Tyrion. Eric Gordon is Tyrion Lannister. They'll blame him.
And he has to flee?
Yeah.
He has to flee to Minnesota?
The whole team is Tyrion Lannister.
Who's Daryl?
Oh, he made a short joke there if you missed it.
Who's Daryl? Is Daryl Stannis where he thinks he's got this magic behind him? And he's like, you're not going to win this fight.
Analytics is his red woman?
Yeah, Analytics is his red woman. And he's just like,
and it always,
he's got his ships and he's going always, out there.
It
like,
always ditches him at the end.
It's about to be Blackwater all over again.
The 0 for 27 Blackwater.
Yeah.
They thought they had it. Stannis thought he had that battle won, and then 0 for 27, or the wildfire happened, and he was done.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Daryl Stannis, he's like, he thinks he's got the fleet, and the Red Woman is his analytics, and he's coming. And you just know it's Blackwater. They got a bunch of stuff in the water. They're about to blow him up.
Who was the first king?
You mean Robert Baratheon?
Yeah, is that Tillman?
Nah.
Ooh, because it's not
boisterous. Less. Yeah, I don't think it's Les.
Can't be Les. Les got out.
No, it's Tillman's the
Might be Tillman.
Might be Tillman.
Well,
Ned. You hate to call anyone Ned Stark.
No, Ned Stark. Kevin McHale's
Ned Stark. Ned Stark was J.B. Bickerstaff.
Kevin McHale's Ned Stark.
Oh, that's right. That's where the James stuff started. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin McHale was Ned Stark.
To be honorable and like probably asked James to do some stuff.
No.
You know what? He benched.
Had a reputation.
He was the hand.
He benched.
He was the hand. Yeah,
he benched James in that game six against the Clippers. And you know, Ned Stark was like, look, Cersei, I'm going to give you a chance to flee. And maybe your kids can take the black, you know, for the realm. I don't want a war to start by, you know, killing you.
Wait a minute. Is Daryl actually Cersei? If James is... I'm sitting here calling him Stannis, which I still think he might be Stannis. Is he Cersei Lannister and James is Joffrey?
Or he's,
and that's his baby?
Or James is Jaime. They're going to die in each other's hands.
Ooh, I don't want that. But Jaime... Well,
what?
Maybe
They're tied together.
They're tied together.
They're inseparable.
They really are. And James, now he needs a redemption.
And I guess Chris Paul's Brienne. Because Daryl was like, maybe this Chris Paul thing will work. And then he realized, no, I'm James and James only.
I think that's Tucker. I think that's Tucker. He's pledged to guard James and all that, but at some point he's going to be out. Well, I think Brienne Tarth is... PJ Tucker.
And James is Jaime. Well,
who was okay,
James
so who
is Jaime?
That's who, what he's saying.
Who was Clint Capella? Who got ousted?
Ooh. Maybe he's Brienne. He's tall.
Yeah.
And Jaime ditched her.
He was guarding the rim.
Yeah,
a little
bit. But Brienne is tougher. Brienne is much tougher.
Yeah, PJ
Tucker.
That is PJ Tucker. That's PJ Tucker. I don't know who
I'm sure he doesn't want to be
who's
that.
Who's Clint Capella?
Jettisoned.
You know who Chris Paul was? Rob Stark.
True.
He thought he was running around.
King of the North.
I'm the King of the North. And then all of a sudden, he's dead. Rob Stark dead.
Yeah.
Before you knew it.
He was the hand, too.
Rob Stark decided to, you know, marry that foreign woman. And, you know, Chris Paul's like, I'm going to bring accountability and defense to, hey, that's foreign to us. We're not looking for that. James is not looking for that. And he had to go. James performed a red wedding.
Wait a minute. 0 for 27 was the red wedding. Chris Paul was dead, basically, but... I don't know when the Red Wedding was. Was it Lakers series this year? Oh, the Red Wedding was against the Golden State Warriors. You didn't see it coming.
Well, 0 for 27.
Yeah. The year after when they lost in game six at home you didn't have Klay Thompson or Kevin Durant.
And you got your
You went in there thinking everything was fine. And before you know it, you're just left
bloody on the
floor.
Spurs game six?
And then Chris Paul was dead. That's where Chris Paul was killed. Chris Paul's career was killed there.
It was killed there.
Right, well, so, Rockets' career.
813 ESPN 97. Yeah, right, guess what? Yeah, he reemerged. Who reemerged?
Chris Paul might be the red woman.
She did. All right, 813 ESPN 97.5. We've got Jimbo tomorrow at 7:15. Jimbo is tomorrow at 7:15. So remember, we got Jimbo tomorrow 7:15. We got that set up. All right.
I was talking to a police officer.
What's a police officer doing here?
Someone dialed 911.
From here?
Mr. Gao, I guess. I walked over there. He seems fine, so I'm not sure what happened. But a police officer, nice man, just knocked on. Hey, anyone call 911? I was like, not from here.
We just told that story about your brother, right? But
it wasn't me.
Wait, I called 911 when you weren't here.
That seems well
to help get us on the air.
Yeah.
Well, the response time's not great because that happened over an hour ago.
Right.
That's one of the problems.
Probably didn't put you in the station as a priority. But he's talking to Mr. Gal right now. I'm not sure what the deal is.
Mm. All right, 8:14. Time to talk about right now TGS Insurance.
TGS is your company when it comes to saving money. TGS Insurance, they want you to know that a lot of people throw money away with homeowners insurance. Now, homeowners insurance is very important. You got to have homeowners insurance, and you want an A-rated company. What TGS Insurance will do is they take A-rated company, and they will aggregate it, and they will give you the price from A-rated companies, and they'll find the lowest rate for you. And the lowest rate for an A-rated company is going to mean a big savings for you in many cases. Some people will save $200, $300. Some people will save $1,800 to 2,100, 2,500. I've seen into the 3,000s. But your savings, your average savings is going to check in around $900. And this is especially true for people who have been with the same company for year after year after year. You've seen incremental raises to your policy. Make sure you check out TGS Insurance and find out what they can do for you. Just text the word money to 232323, and within seconds, you are going to have a firm homeowner's insurance quote. Text the word money to 232323 or go to TGSinsurance.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 817 ESPN 97.5. Let's get Matt in here. He wants to get on the radio. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, good morning, man. I listen to you guys all the time, and I call quite a bit. But hey, I wanted to talk about the whole culture change and the whole Ty Lue thing. I wanted him to come from the beginning, and this is why I think it's going to work. I compared to the AJ Hinch and the Astros. They needed a culture change to change over there. They got a younger coach that can vibe with George Springer and them. Now with the type of coach Ty Lue can do with the Rockets, granted he had, you know, LeBron James. What we had, James Harden. He's not LeBron, but he's still a superstar. He needs to do what he has to do. But I think he can work with the team and versus how you tell him, hey man, you know, I need you to step it up, get this thing rolling, let's knock it out the park. Versus, you know, Jeff Van Gundy demanding it. I think it's going to work. I think it's a good mesh, but that's my opinion. Now you guys have to go, and I'll call you guys another time.
All right, man. Appreciate it, Matt. look. I don't know. I'm just assuming that Ty Lue is just going to be a player's guy, I guess. I don't know. Maybe he's got more standing. Maybe he's got a little more cachet since he's got a ring. And, you know, maybe he can get James to do things that other guys can't. I don't know. But I don't know about Sam Cassell. I don't know. I don't know whether or not Sam Cassell is another one of those guys. But Sam doesn't have that. Sam
has been on the bench for a while. Like, Sam's been around the league coaching
but
for a while.
But he hasn't done it himself.
Right.
Right. Right.
And Ty does have
at
that
at the highest level. Yeah. And Ty has. And, of course, Jeff Van Gundy has got cachet, too.
I do find it unusual that Jeff Van Gundy, if he – I've heard he wants to coach. I mean, I find it unusual that nobody has offered him. I feel like, does he really want to coach? I don't think he wants to take a bad job.
Well, are the days of the Thibodeaus and the Van Gundys, both Van Gundys, you know, grinding, defensive, you know, didn't play, are those days maybe over? Hard-nosed defensive coaches, are those days over? Because in today's Thibodeau NBA, you got to coddle the guys.
But Thibodeau just got hired by the Knicks, so I don't know that it's over. I mean, the Knicks, you want to talk about needing a culture change of some sort, that would be the Knicks. But it's interesting,
he wore out his welcome.
And so did Jim Boylan.
Yeah.
He was a Rudy disciple, but Rudy, while he was more laid back players type of coach, Boylan was a little bit more of a grinder.
He was.
And the players.
The 2.5 hour practices.
Let's be honest here. Players are just different now. They will go complain. They did it to Boylan right away. They went and complained to the media.
Right.
And they were immediately leaking stuff. Immediately, if you have that's going to be a questionable locker room. To me, this is how I see it. When they'll already throw you under the grease that quick, then you don't have your locker room, you're dead. And you got to get the right guys in the locker room. You got to get rid of the malcontents. Now, some people think that, am I wrong here? But I think I've heard that Jimmy Butler has been a guy, because I feel like Jimmy Butler's been great for the Heat. But does Jimmy have a doesn't he have a reputation of sometimes being a little tough to get along with? I know for the other players, but even for coaches, was that an issue at all in Philadelphia for Brett Brown?
Well, initially Brett Brown, the thought was Brett Brown didn't want him back, and then the story came out that he eventually relented, but it was at that point it was too late. He does have a reputation. You think about what he is and what he's been. He was a low end of the first round guy, barely played, kind of built himself up into what he is now. He doesn't suffer fools, I guess is what you would say. And young players are generally in the NBA. He doesn't think, particularly in Minnesota and in Chicago, when they decided they weren't going to build around him, that they were at his level in terms of dedication to winning. The Minnesota thing is the big thing. He only spent a year there. Cat and Wiggins were guys he just didn't think were ready, and he didn't want to waste his time there. And that's the trade to Philly happening. You know, they're a couple bounces away from getting to the East Conference Finals. He's had his issues, and he fits with the Heat because they think the same way he does. And now it helps that year one has been really successful. We'll see if things don't start out well in year two, if that relationship sours. But Jimmy is about that business, and if you're not about it, it can get ugly.
But Jimmy had people come up to his room, security, because he was dribbling a basketball in his room, annoying people. It was probably the same as what people feel like whenever they hear my kids, and we jam all our family into one hotel room when we're on the road, and my kids act like complete and total maniacs. And I got to, like, before I have to, well, usually the wife does the dirty work.
I can't see that.
Shut up! I just say things like, there's someone coming up here, and you guys are going to be kicked out to a different room by yourself. And I'm going to
keep... No. And what do they say?
Keep any electronics.
Excellent.
Until I say, and you can't watch TV, and I'll make sure that you don't have an iPad or iTouch or anything. You'll just be by yourself in a room with Momo. Because Momo's scary. You ever seen Momo?
No.
I've got two kids who are so afraid of Momo that it turns into Snacks will tell me he hates me and I'm a bad dad if I ever... Because one time I had to sneak him with a picture of Momo. He's afraid of Momo, and sometimes
I'm sure he's going to love
if
you
If I
telling.
Know he's afraid of Momo, sometimes I have to just do Momo challenge and look at what Momo is. It's kind of scary. It's kind of weird. It's a freaky character. And
what is Momo hoax? Look at it right
Momo?
Here. The Momo challenge?
Yeah, just look at Momo. Who Momo is.
Is it urban?
Well, no, you got to look at images.
Oh, okay.
Go look at images and you can see what Momo is.
I'm scared. I'm scared to do that.
You're not going
to. Well, me and Snacks are scared.
I've seen this. It's not great.
No. I'm scared too.
It's not great, is it? And they had, we were watching a recording of Saturday Night Live from like, I don't know, five months ago. And all of a sudden they were doing something on the set of the news, you know, of the SNL news, whatever. And somebody holds up a picture of Momo, and Alec and Snacks are super afraid of Momo. And all of a sudden they did a picture of Momo, and I immediately look at them and they both go, oh, they cover up their eyes. And Sebastian goes, get it off the screen! Get it off the screen! Get it off the screen! And Alec backs out with his eyes over his hand over his eyes. He gets off the couch and walks over and goes outside. So I have to use that against
you,
Sebastian.
You absolutely have to. As a father, you have to.
You have to.
No.
I'm not going to be able to have this much fun for my whole life.
No.
Sounds like you're building a healthy relationship with your children.
No.
I'm making them tough.
What?
No. You're scaring the bejesus out of him, which is that's a dad's job.
Yeah, that's actually.
I thought that a dad's job.
You torturing.
You scare certain children to make sure they don't do dumb stuff. How does using Momo as a scare tactic help?
You know, it desensitizes them to jump scares.
Why would
help them with watching horror movies in the future?
I thought the whole point of horror movies is for the jump scares.
Yeah, and I don't need them scared. When they're older, let's get it out of the way now. Momo isn't even scary.
I beg to differ. I'm looking at it right now.
Momo is a little bit freaky.
That longish face and those giant eyes.
Those eyes are the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the worst. 825 ESPN.
It's Japanese. It's a,
it is?
It's a Japanese, like a sculpture. And it's not, it does look a
Who
little.
Who thought of that?
It looks like, the one I'm looking at, it looks like the face that's well known on like a
bird body
with these giant ostrich feet.
Yep, That's what it is.
Ugh.
Mm-mm. Who thinks
Japanese.
Of this?
I don't know.
The devil. The Japanese.
The devil. That's the only person that thinks of this. The devil.
I can't believe Momo got you, too.
No.
It's creepy. Momo I'm not going to lie. Shook.
Momo was terrible. Don't ever show me Momo. Don't ever say Momo again. All right, when we come back, we got to talk a little bit about what some stuff Bill O'Brien said yesterday in his press conference. We'll do that after this, but first, a little jab. We won't take any jabs at him, though.
Sight jab. We'll take a sight jab. Sight jab is, I'm going to take a jab at a friend of mine who has, I'm not going to say his name. I don't know if he's listening, but he really has. I know he did his own website, and it's just not great. It's It's not mobile ready. It hasn't been integrated to a mobile, you know, to mobile translation. So when people go look on the phone, it doesn't really look good. It's just random pictures and text. It can be done so much better. If you've got your own do-it-yourself website kit and you make your own website, that's fine for getting up and running. But if you really want to look serious, what you're telling people with those websites is that you're not professional. And that's probably not true. You're probably very professional at what you do. The problem is the website says so much about your company psychologically and subconsciously to the people who look at your website. 80% of the people who want to do business or who will consider doing business are going to go to your website to find out who you are, what work you've done previously, what your prices may be. So let SiteJab give you the best look. Let SiteJab impress the people who come to your website. They can build a custom site for you between 3 to 6 weeks. And if you have a site that's a pretty good site, but it's just outdated, they can give it a facelift and make sure that the user interface is smooth. They can even help you integrate e-commerce. SiteJab.com, local company in business for 2 decades. They know what they're doing, and they're going to do a great job with your website just like they do for a bunch of ESPN 97.5 listeners and businesses. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, broadcasting safely with our masks from Boomer Naturals.
Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You know, I don't know. I mean, we see, we put a lot of time into the opening drive. We practice it. We go over it. And you know, we do it really Friday and Saturday. And you're right. I mean, last week against, you know, 2 weeks ago against Kansas City, you know, we gain yards, then we jump off sides. You know, we get in third and 10. You know, yesterday, get it to fourth and one. We're on our own 34 early in the game. I decided to punt. I mean, you know, look, I just think we got to keep working at it. You know, I just think it's, you know, something that we definitely know that we have to do better. We got to start faster. And we just, I don't really have a great answer for you, Sean, just other than we got to do a better job.
It's really, 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 really poor. Really, really poor. I mean, they're the worst in the league. You can't. They never score on, ever. A.J. McCarron scored on his opening drive, and that's about it. With Deshaun, they just can't score on opening drives. They suck at it. What is the deal? How about, yeah.
Like I said yesterday, I thought the analytics were pretty good for their opening drive. Except for, you know, not scoring, but then the other opening drive, the second opening, is where they're usually at their best.
Yeah. No, that's not the opening drive because that's the second drive. We're talking about the opening drive of games, analytically.
They're usually 4 and out on that one from a number standpoint.
Well, not you. No. Well, they actually, on the first sometimes one. They get first downs. They just don't score touchdowns. That's all. They get some field goals every once in a while.
And Gary Kubiak was the master of the opening drive. He had great scripts called.
Shouldn't you be ready?
Yeah, your scripted plays should be on point. They should make – Gary would run a variety of personnel groupings and looks so he could get a feel for what the defense was going to do. And he had some really good plays dialed up. And then what would happen was then the second quarter would be stinky. If he got off to a good start in the first quarter, the second quarter would be stinky. And I remember I told you a stat on the air, and then you brought it up to Gary Kubiak at the press conference about some of their scoring. And he goes, am I just – it was about how they passed on first down 87% of the time, which made it more predictable. And Gary's just like, am I just supposed to believe that stat?
Yeah.
Like, no, you should already know it through self-scouting.
Yeah.
You should self-scout and know what you do so that you recognize your own. Like Deshaun is – Bill O'Brien – Bill O'Brien knows about self-scouting. Bill O'Brien is into, you know, different analytics and stuff like that. He's not a behind-the-times coach. The inability to crank up an opening drive is really unusual for a player with dual threat capabilities. You have multiple tight end sets that you can use.
You've got all week to get ready.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get why you don't have plays with where you don't ask your quarterback to make a bunch of reads. You make simple, basic plays.
Well, here's one of the reasons, and Warren Sharp talks about this all the time, is throwing on first down. And Bill O'Brien is fifth to last in the league on first downs as far as he runs the ball fifth most in the league on first down over his tenure. Fifth most. That's not good. That does not, quite frankly, you're pretty predictable. And they did it again this week. They did it again on first down. They just want to run the ball. They just want to run the ball. They want to run the ball. You've got to switch it up. And this is what they've got the eye in the sky for, right? Their analytics guy. But I'm going to tell you this. He's probably more than likely going to go, I don't know if I could help coach this. Hey, coach, you really run the ball way too much. Coach, we're doing great. No, it's all good, coach. We're good. Here are the numbers, coach. Here's what it looks like. On first down, here's what we're doing. It looks great. It's all good, coach. Everything's great. Because if you tell Bill O'Brien you're doing something crappy, then guess what happens? I mean, it's such a dictatorship that there's no way to go about fixing things that need to be fixed. Clock management, challenges, the first down play calling, all of these things that have to be fixed, and you just can't because Bill O'Brien is a dictator, and you can't talk to him. Otherwise, you could get he could shoot you with his crossbow.
I just don't know if that's. You think that's? I know he's got the reputation of being angry and all that. I don't know about behind closed doors when they're doing install. If that's not. You know, if they can't, I really don't know. Now, my guess would be he's open for discussion. But once he gets his mind is set. Like I have a hard time believing Tim Kelly on that fourth down call, and he was asked about the fourth down call yesterday. You know, he was asked about it, and he gave his.
We have to have a better play. He had an all out blitz.
He coach talked it.
Yeah,
but
we need to have a better play ready. Well,
but that is true, though. But he had to have been involved in that.
Well,
you're not going to fourth down calls. Bill O'Brien's going to be involved in a fourth down.
Well, now I go back to the Kansas City game, the playoff game, when he kicked the field goal and he said he didn't have a fourth down play. Now I kind of believe him. I kind of believe him because that was a really, really crappy play that they had for fourth down the other day. And so maybe he's right. Maybe he doesn't have any. Does anybody have a fourth down play Bill can use? Does anybody have a fourth down play? Because that one sucked, and he didn't have one against Kansas City. I believe him. We didn't have a fourth down play.
Yeah. I'm gonna trust you.
I thought he lied about that, but
I'm gonna trust you on this. You should on your. Everybody who has the Andy Reid breakfast chart, you know, and the Gary Kubiak, yeah. Anybody who has that should have their winners, their play winners, where they have a 2-point conversions that they know they can get, a fourth down can get. You got to have plays. I remember Texas ran one against USC, but they showed it early in the game, so they didn't have it for late in the game. This is when Sam Darnold was going up against Sam Ellinger as a freshman, and Texas had a chance to win on the road against USC, but they and Tom Herman even mentioned that they burned up their. They burned
their
up. It
play?
Was a tight end throwback on the other side. Yeah, they burned up their little trick play. Yeah. Basically, it was. I call it trick. It was their if we need to get it, must have it. This is the play around the goal line, and they burned it up on I want to say a two-point conversion or something earlier so they didn't have it available to them later. Bill O'Brien's got to have those. He's usually dialed up Deshaun as a runner in the past, and it tends to work. Now, did you notice Did you notice he put a little wrinkle in with that little drag, the tight end drag on the zone rig, tight end underneath drag, and then he had – now, they were on it. Baltimore was on it, but Tavon Young just got – No, Marlon Humphrey got drug around the field by Darren Fells, and then Darren had an outcut, got across his face, and he threw to the second receiver. Darren Fells over the top of the first receiver, who was Jordan Akins, was the shallow drag across the route, across the formation. You know,
for the touchdown?
The one they unveiled. Was it a touchdown?
Well, Fells caught a touchdown.
This is a separate one. Oh. And then he threw to the – he had an intermediate – shortened and intermediate. He had intermediate. That's a wrinkle the Texans added to that. They may have added it last year too, but anything you show on tape, you got to add a counter. That's all. Add a counter to it. And, man, it's just super disappointing that the Texans aren't more competitive in these games against good teams. And Bill O'Brien sounded like he was frustrated too when he was asked about it yesterday.
Well, the question before, Dell, you got it? Yeah. The question before was how frustrated JJ was. When you lose to the best teams in the league and you're not competitive, but you still got a long season to go. And
he's getting it. He's pulling it up right now. Is this going to be JJ or O'Brien?
No, it's O'Brien. This is Bill O'Brien talking about. Well, the question was JJ was frustrated. The team hasn't won many games against the best teams in the league, and they just haven't. But there's a lot of season left, so how do you balance those two things?
How do you balance that? Trying to keep that in perspective, knowing it's just two games, but also to be the best, you have to at some point beat the best teams.
Yeah, no, I mean it's the question that we have to answer. We've got to realize that it's a long season, but we also have to realize that we have to play a lot better to be in that category. But we got to take it one day at a time, one week at a time. We've been in this position before. Unfortunately, we've many times we've gotten out of this position, but it's a different year. So we just have to improve in every area, Brian. That's pretty much all I can tell you. Like, everybody's got to do better, but we realize that it's a long season, and so the balance between who we played and where we're at, we got a lot of games left and a lot of work to be done. We're all frustrated. JJ's frustrated. Everybody's frustrated. No one wants to lose. No one goes into the game looking to lose. Everybody goes in there trying to do their best to win the game, and we got a lot of good guys. We got guys playing hard all the way through. But we have to eliminate mistakes, especially early on, and we've got to play more consistent.
That's all coach speak. We got to do better. It's a long season. We got to take it day to day. Blah blah blah. Blah
he did.
Blah.
He did coach speak it. Because I think he's. What are you going to say? I don't know. We just keep coming up short in these games. We're not as good as. If you had a real answer, you'd say we're just not as good as
they're
these
not
teams.
As good.
We're not as talented. Our execution isn't as good. And, we just don't do as well from a coaching perspective. So we're getting out coached. We get outplayed. And we're out, we're out rostered right now. Say that.
They are.
But you can't say that.
No, you can't say that because he's the GM.
But that's the
he
truth.
He put the roster together.
Yeah, they're out rostered. Yeah. They're outplayed, out executed, and they're out coached. So there's not all you can say is we got to execute. We got to do better.
Well, let's face it. The two teams that they played, well, they're the upper echelon teams. They're two of the top three teams in the league at worst, right?
Yeah.
Those two. But in every phase, front office, coach, coaching, roster, game plan, in every phase, those organizations are better. Mm-hmm. They're just flat better.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you that's not, but you look at the two, you look at those two that they faced, and you really need to look at it this way. Baltimore and Kansas City are run really well from organizational standpoints.
Both.
And Baltimore's been run really well forever.
Yeah.
Forever. Ozzie started the excellence when they came over from Baltimore, when they came over from Cleveland, became the Baltimore Ravens. It started with the culture of, and this is why it's so important, Ed Reed and Ray Lewis started a culture, and the culture continued with John Harbaugh, who has accountability. He's even-handed. They know what Ravens look like. Ozzie Newsome has done a great job of drafting Ravens. They always have good leadership and culture in the building, so they can take on guys. You know, they know what it's supposed to look like. They can take on some guys if they need to that have a little edge. They're smart with the draft. You see them usually trade back and garner additional picks. The Ravens are what you should aspire to be. We can pick a lot of different teams, but the Ravens have done it for two decades. The Ravens, formerly the Cleveland Browns, of all teams, they know how to do it.
As soon as they got out of there.
They picked up Lamar Jackson. What didn't Ozzie trade up? That was they picked up Lamar Jackson at the end of the first.
Yeah.
I mean, that's who Ozzie went and got. And they tend to know what they're doing from a draft standpoint, but really from a culture standpoint. That and John Harbaugh is not a guy who he's not like Bill O'Brien. He's not power hungry. He knows his role. Bill O'Brien wants everything, and Bill O'Brien is I don't think Bill O'Brien is centered enough to have more control than just either play calling or being a head coach. Well, instead, he's everything.
He hasn't deserved this.
No.
You know what? He just doesn't. He just doesn't deserve this.
No.
There's no metric by which you can measure what he has done in his career that says he deserves to run the whole show.
An entire organization.
Yeah.
The direction of an organization is on your – based on what? On Penn State? On your previous run with the Texans so far? No. You get an extension, I get that, but not run an entire organization. That makes no sense. And Cal is that's on Cal McNair. That's on McNair group.
It's absolutely on Cal. It's absolutely on Cal.
You didn't have to do that.
844 ESPN 97.5.
Doesn't know. Like Cal doesn't even know better. I know who knows better. Craig DeSurf knows better. Although I'm not asking Craig DeSurf to run my football team, but I do want to tell you that Craig DeSurf and Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC, they've got some amazing opportunities for you right now. Let me get to GMC. You're in luck right now because the GMC Sierra 1500 pickup trucks are available with great discounts. You can get yourself a 2020 GMC Sierra 1500 SLT Texas Edition with the premium package and get a $7,000 rebate. You can start choosing your new truck at LanceZCars.com. That's where their entire inventory is. But just remember this, a 2020 GMC Sierra 1500 is yours for a $7,000 rebate. When you take advantage of this, make sure you get in before the end of the month. Before the end of the month is when you want to get in there and get this done. GMC, we are professional grade.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet and Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 847 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, there's plenty of stuff to talk about. 713-780-3776. Do you see the fines for the coaches?
Goodness, the NFL came hard with it. Pete Carroll, Kyle Shanahan, and Vic Fangio all got $100,000 fines for not wearing their masks. More are expected for Bill Belichick. They're expecting to see a full $100,000 fine for both coaches yesterday.
Yep.
Because you had John Gruden and – now both are play callers. John Gruden and Sean Payton, neither one of them were wearing their masks full time, so they're expected to get $100,000 fines. And how about this? The team's got $250,000 fines.
Yeah.
I mean, this is serious. I told y'all, Raj isn't playing, bruh. Raj is out here making a difference in the world in terms of health. The NFL is all about health
oh my
and
God.
Taking care of people. Well, now, why y'all keep slandering my league?
Stop slurping, Roger.
Well, stop slandering my league. You know why there's no positive tests? Because the league is doing it right.
Zero positive tests last week, right?
That's right.
I ain't believing that crap.
I don't know. Was it zero or one? I don't remember.
It was
but...
zero. And then on fraud. It's zero. Zero.
How do you have zero?
Because people know. Because
it's a league of lies.
We clean effectively. I'm not like the Big 12 that has to lie their way out of games and whatnot. The league
Thank
plays.
Thank you, Baylor.
They test every day.
A-holes.
People are responsible.
Maybe TCU, too.
No one goes to the clubs when they're not supposed to. No one gets party buses, AAC.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
AAC getting some party buses. That's oh, yeah.
Just
oh, yeah.
Dumb old Memphis, stupid ass.
Oh, yeah.
Stupid ass team.
Whole damn conference is full of
no.
Corona.
Oh, no. No. They want to play.
Baylor said Houston backed out. Did you see that yesterday where Baylor said Houston backed out? I was going to test them just to see if I could get them.
Well, some news out of the Big 12. Max Duggan, the TCU starting quarterback, who was ruled out indefinitely back in late August due to issues, a heart condition, is now back at practice. So he will be available. I don't know if he'll start, but he'll be available for their Big 12 opener and their season opener versus Iowa State. You know who they didn't get to play because of COVID, alleged COVID issues at TCU? Them SMU Mustangs, who will light up the scoreboard. Do you think Gary Patterson wanted to play that offensive juggernaut without a starting quarterback?
I'm going to tell you this. I would not put him past him at all. He didn't have Duggan. Or was Duggan maybe going to play
he
then? Was,
no, he just got cleared to practice this week.
Just this week.
So he was not. He wasn't going to be available to play on this 11th.
There is.
Or the 12th.
Are you really?
The 12th.
Because don't forget, that's the inner, well, not really inner city because it's Fort Worth and Dallas, but that is the Dallas-Fort Worth area rivalry. The
skillet.
It is. I mean, and guess what? SMU might be better than TCU.
Possibly, although TCU is like ranked by a lot. Some people think they're going to be pretty good.
Well, maybe with Duggan, but Gary was like, I ain't got Duggan, I ain't playing him.
Yeah, that game was scheduled for Friday, September 11th, and Duggan was ruled out, and then we found out, oh, we got some COVID issues, so we can't play.
And how many COVID kids do they have this week that aren't going to be eligible?
I haven't seen that, but I would.
I thought they had COVID.
That was, well,
they had COVID.
11.
COVID.
They had about a couple weeks ago. They had COVID issues.
COVID.
Now they're seems to be okay.
Oh, everybody's fine. Everybody now it's no COVID.
Apparently.
Oh, okay.
Mm. And your starting quarterback's now available.
Now you got an easy schedule. You're just playing the Big 12.
You're playing Iowa State. We know they stink.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Louisiana Lafayette's like, boy, they suck.
Yeah. The the initial announcement for the what appears to be a cancellation, but they called it a postponement of the TCU-SMU game was September 4th. They didn't give us a number of staff and players who tested positive, but they just said, hey, can't play the game.
I'm telling you, there's going to be so much finagling with this stuff.
Think that's what they're going to do?
I'm positive that's already been happening.
Aren't you going to lose money though doing that?
They don't give a rat's ass. Coaches don't want to lose games. Who are you going to depend on?
No, there's way. They're competitive too. You think coaches aren't competitive?
I think coaches are smart. Baylor didn't want any piece.
But you have to have positive.
TCU didn't want any piece.
But
of
you
SMU.
Have to have positive tests.
But he didn't have Max. He didn't have his quarterback.
But
so you know what he said? We ain't playing.
No, but you have to. Isn't there something in place that says when you play and when you don't? You have to. Your tests have to be. You can't just make up numbers.
Well, you could have positive tests. The question is, in this game or this theory we're putting out there, how many kids were actually available?
Yes.
Did you really have a position group decimated? Because TCU just said because of our issues,
they didn't put anything out there. They just said we had issues. Sorry, we can't.
They didn't tell. I don't think we saw.
Don't
anything
you think
definitive.
They have to though to the
to
conference?
Who?
There's got to be somebody.
It's out of conference.
Well, you know what they do? They go, yeah, here. Look at this. Look at our linebacker. Yeah, he's a redshirt freshman. Yeah, but what about? Oh yeah, this guy. He had to. Well, we got tracing because all kinds of guys were with him. They were all with him. So
yeah,
we're not going to be.
If you're ducking SMU, I'm not saying SMU is not going to be pretty decent, but. If you're ducking SMU, just quit football.
Well, without your quarterback.
I don't care. If you're ducking SMU.
They got beat last year.
Yeah.
Know. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's football. You're ducking an SMU is now the powerhouse
you're ducking. You know what the last thing TCU wants to do? Lose to SMU again.
Who should they ever
play
against?
You know what? Here's the deal. is Sonny Dykes is really good. Sonny Dykes has done it really,
that's
really
fine.
Well.
That's fine. I agree.
They do have a good team.
I agree with you, but Gary Patterson ain't no bitch. You better quit calling Gary Patterson a bitch.
Gary Patterson bitched out.
No, you don't know that. You let Dell get in your head with that stuff.
I gave him the information. The starting quarterback was not available.
Gary Patterson, you mean you watch being so flagrant with Gary Patterson's name.
Last year, Dave Aranda was a badass. This year, Baylor bitch.
You need to stop being so flagrant with their name.
This is what we know about the TCU game.
You catch up at one of your little
Houston touchdown clubs?
Virtual touchdown clubs, and Gary Patterson, where's Granato?
Come get some.
Put your face on the screen, you little punk-ass bitch.
He's scared of Sonny Dykes. I scared him.
All we know is that they reported in multiple cases, didn't tell us what position groups, how many were available to play, just multiple cases within the program, and it just so happens the starting quarterback wasn't available either. And all of a sudden,
how convenient.
And now he's, I don't know.
Everybody's back? No, COVID's gone?
I haven't seen any.
COVID's how it works.
COVID's dead.
That's how it works. COVID comes, COVID goes. How did LSU manage to play?
They infected everybody.
And then didn't they stay?
Did they bitch out on the game? No.
No, theirs was 4 weeks ago. They were just riddled with COVID.
Well, LSU's
like, what's wrong? We got the COVID. They had like COVID all over. They don't even have anyone left that hadn't had COVID.
That's right.
Y'all need to tell your squad to stop getting in groups of 50.
All right, perfect. You know what?
COVID ass.
But to John's point, did LSU miss
stop being flagrant with Gary Patterson's name?
LSU miss a football game?
Gary Patterson ain't ducking SMU.
Look up that all those LSU games they missed.
Not a one.
Not one.
Because they got the COVID early because y'all were sick in Louisiana. Yeah. Louisiana, they were one of the first ones to get rocked to COVID.
I just am looking
for super spreader. Mardi Gras.
I'm looking for a TCU update about COVID cases, and I haven't seen anything since September 4th when they canceled the game.
See, Dell's just starting.
No, I'm just Googling.
That's all. That's all.
And I haven't
let's just play with the facts, Lance. Oh, we had 800 cases when we were supposed to play SMU. We're all fine now.
By the way, didn't Texas?
Everybody's fine.
Texas Tech got crushed by COVID and still played their game again, and almost lost. Probably might be because of it, but played.
You. Matt Wells, you know, bitch.
You can't play when you have 70 players out.
Who said they had 70 players
out? They didn't. We don't know. numbers aren't out.
It was multiple players.
Wait,
they didn't say 70.
Multiple could be 70.
That's true. It could be 3-2.
Yeah, it could be.
Could be two.
You're not skipping with three.
Well,
your
don't
school
know that.
Will be like, Coach, how many COVID cases do you have? Three.
Apparently, Baylor had none. It was just tracing. Apparently, Baylor had none.
Yeah, they don't want to give it to U of H.
We traced it. Somebody like 14 miles away had it.
I'm
we
telling
can't
you,
play.
With the way you're talking about Houston, Houston better go undefeated in the conference the way you got them playing.
Damn right.
Clayton Tune is he going to, are we going to already get, can Dana get a hotel room this early in Manhattan? Are they going to do Heisman Clayton?
They haven't even announced that they're doing a Heisman.
Are they going to Zoom a Heisman?
Yeah, we don't know. That's right. That's right.
You got Clayton Tune in the... You got the Cougs undefeated?
I didn't say anything about the Cougs. I was talking about Baylor.
He said they're...
You said Baylor was afraid to play Houston because they're so good.
And?
That's what I'm saying. You said Houston's so good.
No, because they're scared.
Well,
we don't know how good U of H is yet. They just scared.
That's what I'm telling you. Why would they be scared?
Do you know what? You know why they'd be scared? Iowa State, Kansas State, Kansas, TCU. Oh, we're going to get our ass handed to us.
Dave Aranda said, I ain't like that.
He ain't?
Your LSU defense coordinator, you want to slander on him?
He got soft when he went to Baylor. S-A-W-F-T.
Capital S.
What's that?
Soft. He's so soft, we call him soft.
Dave Aranda's bald, too. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Well,
what does that have to do with anything?
Because
the COVID can't live on his head.
No, he could. I know. I know a place where he could go. Hair up. Pick up some hair.
Does Linville provide
get his swag back?
Does Linville provide balls to people too?
Get his swag back.
No,
like
he can't get your nuts there. You gotta go get your testosterone on there,
man. I guess we're never having Baylor on. I guess we're never having Dave Rand on the show.
We're not.
Well, we ain't. We ain't. What do we want Baylor on for?
Matt Rhule was on last year.
Yeah.
He's from Baylor.
Now, Matt Rhule, I want on.
Oh,
okay. He didn't duck you.
He ain't ducking nobody. He ain't ducking. What? And you know who else ain't ducking? Doc Linville. Doc Linville says, yeah, you ain't got no hair up there. That's okay, bro. because I'm going to hook you up. And he hooked me up. And I'm telling you what, it is a game changer. It is huge, huge, huge. I feel great about my hair. If you want long, like Fred, look at Fred. I mean, it is, it's awesome. It's beautiful. Long flowing locks. Fred had nothing going on up there. Now, thanks to Doc Linville, what? He's got a ponytail. It's all Doc Linville. If you're looking for the best way to get hair, 975hair.com. It's basically, it's really, the pain is minimal as opposed to the other ways that you can do this thing. The process is simple. The results are unbelievable. I honestly got a full head of hair. I was bald. So if you're looking for a great way to get hair, go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
Loaded, ready to rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You know how you make any sporting event a lot more interesting? You bet on it. A little wager on a baseball game.